Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
4 o'clock on Friday can only mean one thing. From St. Joe to Sao Paulo to Santa Clara, he's there every step of the way, and nobody knows the Chiefs like Nate, Nate Taylor.
They will move Joe Tooney to left tackle.
Now of ESPN, join CDOT on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
We are really happy right now to be joined in studio by Nate Taylor of ESPN. Nate, there is so much to get into and so much to get your thoughts on. Let's go back for just a little bit before we skip ahead and then come to Sunday's game against the Colts. What was it like for you, who has been there for all of these Chiefs fourth quarters, where I think everybody in Kansas City feels, hey, if this is a one-score game with 5 minutes to go, the Chiefs are going to win this game. Right. Pat will make a play. Right. Andy will dial something up. Spags will dial up a blitz. They will make the play to win the game, especially when they need to have it.
Mm-hmm.
They had two consecutive offensive drives. They ran six plays, back-to-back three and out. Pat threw the interception. They had the block, mm-hmm. extra point. The Chiefs lost that game in a lot of ways on Sunday. What is it like for somebody who has had a front row seat to all amazing comebacks? Watch them fumble away the final 5-8 minutes of this game.
It is the strangest thing, man. And I'm glad you sort of framed it that way, because I remember when I was in Sao Paulo that I was like, oh, this is good. Like, I remember leaving the stadium like, oh, interesting. All right. Well, I mean, I understood what Chris Jones was trying to do. And, you know, it is the offense's fault because they were comatose for the first half. So, all right, well, that's cool. That's interesting. The loss to the Eagles, I felt, did more psychological damage to the Chiefs than in Sao Paulo. When they lost to the Jaguars, that is literally the funniest game I've seen in quite a time, because I want to remind people how well Patrick played even after he threw the pick six, right? He comes back, takes him right down the field. Hey, we need a touchdown. We need to make it to where the only way Jacksonville can win is if they respond with their own touchdown. Well, the Chiefs, as we all know, did something they never did last year, which is let any quarterback of any caliber really walk them down the field in a two-minute drill situation. So that was, like, comical in terms of, like, how bad they lost that game. The Bills game, it's like, well, you guys do this every year. All right, well, hey. Get yourself a bye week. It's been an up and down season. Okay, you know, at the time, I think I remember writing like, hey, this is the first time they are technically out of the playoff picture entering the bye week in the Patrick Mahomes era. So, hey, but hey, you know, Rashee Rice was suspended. You had guys banged up. You know, we really didn't even see Xavier Worthy to what, week four? You know, the defense has been up and down, but they usually get better as the season goes along too. 6-4, or, you know, 5-4, whatever it was at the time. Okay. Dog, there's no shocked I was really shocked, Carrington, that the Broncos, and maybe this informs us now looking back, but I just want to remind people, I should look it up on the box score, but in the fourth quarter, to your point, Sean Payton, who is pretty aggressive in his own right, understands exactly who he's playing, knowing that Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback on the other side of the field, basically said, oh, it's fourth and six from Kansas City's 36? Cool. We'll just kick a field goal. We'll just tie the game up. And at the time, I was like, you sure about that? Because there's 4 minutes left. You're not getting the ball back with any real time or real estate to do anything. Oh, nope, I was wrong. They just went three and out. And third and 15, you know, ultimately a poor decision by Steve Spagnuolo because the Broncos, and I think I said this earlier in the week, the Broncos literally triple-teamed Chris Jones to start that play. Anyone else but him, we dare you to get pressure. Didn't get pressure. Bo Nix finds, you know, Courtland Sutton on a nice little adjustment to his route because I think Jalen Watson had him covered pretty well initially. And then it's sort of the secondary play that led to the first down conversion. So that was the first time where I was really like, wow, this is stunning. You guys are 5-4. Like, it was almost like being in the locker room looking at them being like, you know you 5-5, right? Like, it's almost Thanksgiving. What is this? So, yeah, been very strange. I could explain about three of the five losses. Again, the fourth, the Jacksonville loss is comical, but I think the actual first game where I was actually concerned was Sunday. Because against Buffalo, it's like, hey, that's Buffalo's Super Bowl. They actually showed you a lot that you should improve on, which is actually helpful for you going into the bye week. And then you come out the bye week and they don't have the amount of concentration and focus they should have. Their game plan is questionable at best. And then you let a team hang around, even though you had the lead in the fourth quarter, to where Denver could sort of turn the tables on you. That was the one that's actually made me concerned. And now, you know, unfortunately, their backs are to the wall. Like, I heard you earlier today in the car driving around. Like, yeah, there's no margin of error. The Texans winning last night does not help them in the standings whatsoever. So they desperately need to win, you know, Sunday against the Colts.
I always say this about interviews. I don't care how good the question you ask is. The other person has to be willing to answer the question,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I'm sure you get this in your mention. You guys don't ask the tough questions.
Dog.
You were the one who pressed Andy Reid about all the things that people are upset about. Hey, why don't you guys run the ball more? Why don't you do this more?
Yep.
You were the one that did this.
Uh-huh.
How did you feel about the way that he answered those questions? And I guess for me, the way that they run the football does not work. It does
not
work.
Of course. That's why I asked you.
I know, it does not work. And in my opinion, the number one responsibility of coaching is to get the most out of the talent that you have on the roster.
Yes.
And I don't think anybody can argue that they are getting the most out of Isaiah Pacheco, the most out of Kareem Hunt, the most out of Breshard Smith. They cannot run the football effectively. And if you were telling me that over the course of these next seven games, they got to go 6-1, you are not doing it with seven Pat go be great games. That is not how this works. One of those games, Pat those for 210, and you have to run the football effectively. Can you do that? The Chiefs are going to have to answer that question at some point. What did you make of your back and forth, your exchange with Andy? What do you make of their offense?
You can't. It's not like I'm trying to like do gotcha questions. It's not like I'm trying to press him like I think some people do want us to do from time to time. I'm trying to provide a framework to where it's not just a blanket no. I don't think anybody wants to hear that in a press conference. Like, well, why don't you guys do this? And it's just like, you know, it's a closed-in question. So I want to give him the options to, like, expand on where I'm trying to get him to go in terms of the framework of the question. And he knows the statistics. I know he knows all the statistics about them being quite efficient when they choose to run the ball under center, which is an actual threat to the defense versus, as we've all talked about, in shotgun, you know, multiple guys in the backfield. Maybe it's an RPO, but it's really leaning heavily. I mean, all the numbers say the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, they lean heavily to the pass in the RPO portion of their playbook. So the question I asked him was, how much can you actually change your scheme during the course of the season, especially in the second half, once you've had your bye week to self-evaluate? It's year 27. He's been a coach for 27 years, ladies and gentlemen. He's a master at this stuff. And he didn't really want to acknowledge it. He acknowledged it a little and just said, there are smaller things we have to correct. Nate, we're this close. And he put his index finger and his thumb very close to one another. We got to just – now, I know part of him is saying, like, if we don't do stupid penalties, we wouldn't be in so many, you know, situations where we don't have the chance to maybe run the football more, even if that's under center or not. But he really didn't want to ask the question because – and I'm led to believe this was the scheme they came into with. They got all the players healthy outside of Isaiah Pacheco, and he's going to go swinging with what they have tried to do this season, even though the Broncos and the Bills have informed them that your receivers, if you put four of them out there, they are not beating, you know, this nickel cornerback, this third safety. You're not winning those matchups as favorable as we used to see in, like, 2022 or 2018 when it was like, air it out, spread them. You know, we can just throw this thing all around.
This is kind of my take, and I'm sorry to cut you off here, but I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. I think the Chiefs have a lot of zone beaters. Mm-hmm. They don't have a lot of man beaters.
And they don't accentuate the players who can beat man coverage. And
like Tyquan Thornton.
Or Xavier Worthy. Hollywood Brown can do it in moments. He has not done great in man-to-man coverage. The interception that Patrick Mahomes had against the Washington Commanders, that is against man coverage where Patrick says, well, okay, it might be sticky, but I'll put it in a spot that only you should get it. A little behind you, a little back shouldery. Wait, what? He intercepted it? Like, that is, in more sense, more on the receiver than the quarterback based on what he was trying to do with the placement of the football. They don't use, the problem is, yes, we all understand Rashee Rice has the talent to be a number one receiver. This year was about demonstrating that and proving that over the course of the year. So you had to have known that defenses were going to be like, okay, he's as good as he was when we last saw him healthy, which means he ate up zone coverages and he worked off Kelce really well. And Lord, let's not have a linebacker near him. So what did the Bills do? Okay, well, let's have more DBs on the field and let's just see if you can, like, you know, win one-on-one. That's not, you know, a back shoulder fade in the red zone. The Broncos asked the question. The Bills asked the question. I assume the Colts will ask the question, especially with Sauce Gardner and Traverius Ward.
They got two high-end corners.
Yes. Can you beat man coverage with Rashee Rice in the intermediate area when he can't get a free release in zone coverage? He has not proven to do that. So that is his season for the next 7 weeks because, to your point, Carrington, I think you're right that if they're going to run more mesh, if they're going to run more man-beating, whip routes, change of direction, you know, corner post, those have to largely come from Xavier Worthy and Tyquan Thornton because they can use their speed to create more separation.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Nate Taylor of ESPN. We'll get to the Colts here coming up in just a little bit. I kind of want to talk overarching about some of the things that you're seeing. And we'll talk specifically about this game and also Buffalo and Houston here coming up in just a little bit. Of all the areas on the team that I think have been disappointing, the number one answer to me is their defensive line. Let's remove Chris Jones from this. Let's remove George Karlaftis from this. Mike Dana has one sack season.
It's sad. It's sad. Guys, don't.
He has one sack. Charles Omenihu. This was a contract year. This was the year that Charles Omenihu was supposed to have his Tershawn Wharton season.
Yep.
He was supposed to have 6.5, 7 sacks this season, go off next year to go play for the Seattle Seahawks, but you signed a 3-year, $30 million deal and got $21 million guaranteed.
Right.
That's what this season was supposed to be for Charles Omenihu. I think if you want to look at on the defense, where do you see the flaws? Where do you see the cracks? Those two things seem obvious to me. Mike Dana and Charles Omenihu have severely underperformed this season. I think that's number one. And number two, they made one change to their defense. It was going to get Christian Fulton. He doesn't play.
And he shouldn't play. And I just, like, hey, you tried it out in a divisional game where we all said you, A, should win, and B, you kind of need to win the game if you want to have a shot to chase the Broncos down in the second half of the season for the divisional crown. Okay. I've seen it. I don't need to see Christian Fulton unless there's some injury, right? Now, maybe he can get better over the next month, I guess. That's always a possibility. But right now, they need to, you know, feed into the development of Noah Williams. Whoo, buddy, when it comes to the defensive line, guys, let me just repeat this one more time. Because Spags, to his credit to some degree, was like, you know what? Bo Nix is somewhat athletic. And you know what? We kind of got burned by Trevor Lawrence when we didn't really put a spy on him in a late game situation. So you know what? I'm going to put Leo Chenal in the spy situation. I'm going to make it kind of look like we're blitzing, but we're actually not. We're gonna just play straight up, seven-man in coverage. We got a spy, three-man pressure. Somebody going to get home, right? It's 3rd and 15. He got to hold the football. Guys, the Broncos dedicated three offensive linemen to Chris Jones. Charles Omenihu tried to use a speed rush. It did not work. George Karloftis tried to use more of a bull rush. He kind of got hemmed up. Guys, that's your season. Whether that's Sunday against Indianapolis, later on in the year, maybe Christmas Day against the Broncos in the rematch, who knows if the Chiefs make the wild card round. Again, I think they are talented enough to still make the playoffs. But what that informed me, Carrington, is, yes, the pass rush is lacking. Chris Jones is still having, on analytics, next-gen stats, traditional stats, still one of the best seasons for a defensive tackle, and that's about it. You know, you're getting bonuses if Charles Omenihu finds consistency. You're getting bonus if George Karloftis can be consistent half to half. He has good halves. I don't know if he has good games yet this season, which has kind of been a little bit troubling given they gave him the contract. But, hey, at least you know he's capable. This is it. This is it. Shane Steichen knows what's coming on third down, guys. It's a blitz. You tell me it's an important third down Sunday against the Colts. It's got to be a blitz. Because too often, Chris Jones has to either beat a double team, which we all know is, you know, asking a lot, even for great players at times. But a triple team with no one else helping, with, you know, a spy that I guess did keep Bo Nix in the pocket, but if you give a quarterback time, he's going to find someone open in 2.5, 3, going on 4 seconds. So Omar Norman Lott sort of torpedoed their entire plan, and that's just the reality, because he was going to show, I think, some juice in the pass rushing department. He was going to take a little bit of snap pressure off of Chris Jones, because Chris Jones got to be on the field every third down, and if it's second and long, he probably needs to be on the field those plays too. He's playing, again, an enormous amount of snaps for someone who's 31 as a defensive tackle. Not an edge rusher, a defensive tackle. Being in the trenches, again, being double teamed consistently. Their best plan, Carrington, is go after the quarterback and see if you can speed him up, see if you can lead to mistakes, some, you know, mistiming in the rhythm department of the quarterback and the receiver. And you know, for a defense that doesn't prioritize turnovers, they need to start getting turnovers sooner rather than later, because if they just want to fall back on playing traditional defense, to your point, that pass rush isn't good enough.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Nate Taylor of ESPN. We'll get to specifically the game against the Colts here coming up in a bit. Last question, at least in this segment, and then we'll break after this. Every building has an energy. Every building has a mood.
Mm-hmm.
You've been in that locker room. Guys are listening to music. Guys are playing basketball. Guys are on their guys are just having a good time.
Yes.
You've been in that mood where you could tell people are pissed. What was the
mood? That was yesterday.
You know what I'm saying? What was the mood? What was the energy in the locker room? Because you've seen all different versions of this team. What is the mood around this team with how things have gone so far this season?
So yesterday, I sensed a lot of, like, we are really upset with the way things have gone. It was interesting to me that Travis Kelce chose to speak to us today as another voice, another leader. He tried to present, like, hey, it's about focus, execution, which I largely agree with. You know, he tried to do his best to give cover. You know, the coaches are figuring it out. We're going to figure it out. There was a little bit more joy and optimism during today's practice, and that's usually the case after a Friday when you've done the, you know, work week, you've got everything in from a game plan standpoint. I think there is some positives that Xavier Worthy is going to play Sunday with the left ankle injury. And then Kizi Suamataia appears to be on track given the league's concussion protocol. So we did see him. He seemed to be in a pretty good mood after going through, you know, today's practice. So at least on offense, there's a little bit more positivity. You know, I still think the defense is trying to figure out what its identity is in terms of like how much of an aggressor they want to be. So I'm actually more interested to see the defense in Sunday's game than the offense. But I think for the most part, this is a focus group that is trying not to like overthink things or press. And I understand we are human beings. You don't want these guys to be robots. But I do think there was a sense yesterday of like, okay, we really got to get our you-know-whats together. And then today it was like, okay, that was the last practice of the week. We feel good about ourselves. All we got to do now is go out there and showcase it. And it's fascinating, Patrick. It's fascinating that Patrick said, you know, we still have 7 games left to write our season. And if that's the mentality, if that's the way you want to speak publicly and to your teammates, that first paragraph on Sunday better be excellent because there's not many other avenues that this team can go from a psychological standpoint if they happen to lose against the Colts.
That's just where I've struggled, at least when talking about this game is I'm, you know, we all are in this business. Like you want to have fresh, new content. I'm guessing you could have taken everything you wrote about the Broncos game, changed Bo Nix, entered Daniel Jones, erased Broncos, put Colts, and you could have just cut and copied almost every single thing that you did last week because every superlative that mattered last week matters this week. Other than bye week, everything else matters. They're healthy. They got to have it kind of game. It feels like their season is on the line. Important AFC opponent. Yep. Last week it was the division. Now it's about making the playoffs. So some of it is, if you are picking against the Chiefs, I understand it from this perspective. You fooled me the first time. You got me last week. I'm not going to let you fool me again. But then there's that other side of it is, I'm not ready to give up on the Chiefs. Not what I've seen them do for 5, 6, 7 seasons. And it feels like if they lose this game for the first time in a long time, you're going to have to say, man, I just don't believe in this team anymore. You have fooled me too many times in 2025. I will not let you do it again. Like, this to me is much more of a psyche morale. I got to see if the Chiefs still got it kind of game.
They still work in the show me state, my friend. It's time to show us.
For sure.
I completely agree. I know you were asking the audience earlier, like, why do you think the Chiefs will win? Even though I think if we polled everybody, the majority of people would say that, no, I think they'll win. My reason and take on this is they have to win. This game has to matter more to them than the Colts. I'm sorry. It's nice to have a bye week to be, 8-2? You know, hey, we got the chance to maybe, you know, stay in the race for the one seed. You know, we've been playing, you know, lights out. Hey, we got our new, cool, awesome teammate and Sauce Gardner from the trade deadline. Bro, this game cannot mean more to the Colts than the Chiefs. Circumstances have to dictate that. So if we see that on Sunday, that empirically should be a reason why the Chiefs win this game. They need it more. They have to feel like they need it more. They have more to demonstrate and prove to themselves and perhaps to the rest of the league more than the Colts do at this point. And I'm not saying the Colts aren't talented because they clearly are, but you got to have this game because 3 losses in a row would be the first time that that's happened in the regular season with Patrick Mahomes. And again, to both of our comments, where you go from then? Like, what's next if that happens? So, all right, Chris Jones, like,
and then just at some point, time matters. Like,
oh,
we keep, you know what I mean? Like, you already have 6 losses, and we think that, and then we think 11-6 is probably the record that you need. So I don't know if you can go from 5-6 heading into Thanksgiving to now, hey, this team's going to win 6 in a row.
Right.
You haven't shown me at any point you have the ability to flip the switch. You couldn't do it against the Bills. You couldn't do it after a bye week against the Broncos. You can't do it at home in this game against the Colts. Like, it's reason they admit. Maybe the lights just don't work this week. We'll continue our conversation about the Indianapolis Colts. I do want to get your thoughts. My question is, if they couldn't stop James Cook, why do you think they can stop Jonathan Taylor? We'll talk about that next. Keep it right here, Sir Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, so, Nate, let's start with this. If Kansas City isn't the team that we expected in the beginning of the season, Buffalo is not that team.
Right.
Baltimore is not that team. Somebody has to go to the Super Bowl out of the AFC. You know what I mean? So I feel like we're playing this game now. Nobody believes in Denver. Nobody believes in Indianapolis. Nobody believes in the Patriots. Well, then who do you think is going to the Super Bowl then?
I have an idea.
This is how I'm looking at it when it comes to this game.
Mm-hmm.
I think both teams have something massive to prove. The Chiefs got to show me that they're the Chiefs still.
Right.
And a lot of our conversation about the Chiefs in 2025 is based off what they did in 2022 or 2023. Not really anything that you've seen in 2025 to lead you to believe that they can beat 4 or 5 playoff teams in a 7-week stretch. The Colts, people will not believe the Colts until you give them a reason to believe. If the Colts go on the road and beat Kansas City in this game, knowing how important this game is for the Chiefs, you cannot tell me the Colts have no chance of winning the Super Bowl. You can't tell me that, not
right,
this year
right,
in the National Football League. Because the same holes that you can poke in Daniel Jones, I could do that same thing for Bo Nix. Drake May has never played in a postseason game. We think he can win 2 or 3 of those games and go to a Super Bowl. Like, you can just find flaws
in
with
anybody. Yeah.
So I'm looking at this game as a big statement game on either side. Either the Colts are going to go on the road and get the most impressive win of the season in my mind, or Kansas City beats a top 5 team. They got the Cowboys on Thanksgiving where it's going to be 50 million people watching. And then we'll find out if the Chiefs are making the playoffs or not, in my opinion, on Thursday evening.
Okay, so I have an idea. I know their schedule is mostly a cakewalk. I think I have the most faith in the Patriots, honestly, because they can run the football. They have a fun quarterback who appears to be getting better as the season goes along. Their defense is competent enough. We already know they went on the road and beat the Bills. They have probably the easiest path to the one seed. You really want to go up to New England and play? I mean, they would have the shortest, you know, as the one seed, they would have the shortest path to making the Super Bowl. Mike Vrabel's done it before. He's gotten the team to a conference championship. I kind of like what I see in the Patriots. For the Colts, the best argument I can make probably is get Daniel Jones in the dough. Like, you know, win Sunday. Winning Sunday is going to be interesting because these past two games, I know you guys mentioned this already, Daniel Jones has struggled. Those have both been in Pittsburgh, and that has been in Berlin. Now, one's a little bit more, you know, a wild variable because you're going international, and it's the last game before the bye week, and, you know, they played an okay team in the Falcons. This is before Michael Penix's injury, of course. Daniel Jones has been lights out in the dome, guys. And you obviously pair that with Jonathan Taylor. Let's see how Sauce Gardner looks. Because I don't think Sauce Gardner's worth two first-round picks. I was appalled by that trade for the Colts, even though, hey, cool player. Definitely can help your team, but, like, you might want a first-round pick, like, in 2027. But okay. If I had to guess right now, outside the Chiefs, I would say I like what I'm seeing with the Patriots, and the Colts could go a long way because winning a game in an environment outside in a loud place, a desperate team on the road, yeah, that would go quite a bit to establish, hey, okay, maybe we should consider you as the top team in the AFC.
I think we're creating a scenario where only Drake May can win NFL MVP.
No, stop it. No, get out of here.
I think we're creating that scenario. And that's why, at least for me.
No.
I don't have an MVP vote, so it doesn't really matter.
No. But
if Indianapolis gets the one seed, I will vote for Jonathan Taylor to win MVP.
Yes, come on now. What are we doing?
He will be the biggest reason why they got the one seed. So I asked the question before the break. I'll ask you this now. The Chiefs did not stop James Cook. James Cook did basically whatever he wanted to in this game.
Oof.
If you couldn't stop James Cook, what confidence do Chiefs fans have that they will be able to stop Jonathan Taylor? Because that is objective number one if you were going to beat them.
And he's objectively better than James Cook, like certifiably better. I imagine Steve Spagnuolo is going to sell out to stop the run. This game plan could be quite similar to what the Chiefs showed against the Ravens. Now, I know the Ravens were dealing with a bunch of injuries on offense, on defense, but they did have, you know, a large portion of their roster available on offense. They did a lot of zero pressure, a lot of blitzing, and that sort of serves two purposes because it obviously creates more people closer to the line of scrimmage in the box. Which could, you know, muck up some blocking schemes for the Indianapolis Colts. I know they do a decent amount of RPO as well, but they also get under center more than the Chiefs. So I think if you're Steve Spagnuolo, you just got to come with fire and just see how Daniel Jones reacts, and then you can sort of adjust as the game moves along. If they can't obviously the key is to, like, muck up the running scheme with eight guys in the box. Hell, bring a ninth man down if it's a 12 personnel situation where it's just two wide receivers on the field with two tight ends. See if you can get them behind, the down and distance that that teams like to be in. Like, hey, we'd love to be in 2-5, not second and eight. We'd love to be at, second and five. And then just hope Daniel Jones gives you one or two because of his vulnerability as someone who could be strip sacked. And someone who could put the ball up there, where it's a 50-50 shot for a potential interception. Tackle. Good luck tackling, man. Because, there was times they had some leaks against Saquon Barkley, but they did a very good job, I thought, against Derrick Henry, and they're gonna have to do something very similar with Jonathan Taylor. Now, from a speed standpoint, you can say, well, Nate, is this more like Jahmyr Gibbs with the Lions? That is, to this date, still the Chiefs' best win. Well, yes. But they got the Lions in more fourth downs, And that put more pressure on Jared Goff. And we knew that he didn't, you know, we all saw he wasn't as consistent on fourth down as he was on third down. So no need in wasting time if you're Steve Spagnuolo. Like, first third down, let's get crazy. Like, whether it's a zone blitz, a fire cell blitz, hell, let's do cover zero, engage eight, I don't care. But they got to find a way to get the ball more in Daniel Jones's hands, of course, than Jonathan Taylor. Because to me, and I know somebody's like, look, I just praised Drake May for like 90 seconds. There ain't no way this man should be the MVP. No.
You stop. And I know how it is.
Stop it. But well, I know this because my own editors at
I wouldn't vote for Drake May to win MVP.
Neither would I. My own editors were like, hey, we think it's a three race for the MVP. Who would you vote for right now? And I was like, a three-person race, and Drake May was one of them. And I just said, guys, we're doing way too much.
Who was the other two people?
It's the two people that matter, Jonathan Taylor and, I mean, have you seen Matthew Stafford?
Okay,
my
that's fair.
God. Matthew Stafford has been playing insane given his own age, injuries. You know, how much time does he have left? It's a credit to, oh, man, they got Puka Nacua and Davante Adams and nothing else matters. It's pretty great. It's just, you know, Matthew Stafford's been playing great. I think the MVP right now, I would give it to Jonathan Taylor because he's having to lift more than Drake May, who's in a pretty good system. And again, light schedule. And Matthew Stafford, who is just, I mean, just ripping them. I mean, intermediate zone, deep zone, just piling up the touchdowns and the yards. Obviously, they had a, you know, impressive win last week against the Seahawks. So they are on track to be the one seed in the NFC. But I would pick Jonathan Taylor. And I think it's really a two-person race right now because unless the Patriots run the table, okay, then you might want to come talk to me. Okay.
Yeah, I'm
but
willing
until
to give,
then.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm willing to give it to Drake. I'm willing to give it to either Drake May or Jonathan Taylor if they get the one seed in the AFC. To me, that should be the tiebreaker on who should be the NFL MVP. We got Nate Taylor in studio here. He does fantastic work with ESPN. We'll continue to get you ready for Sunday's matchup against the Colts. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This is Wyatt Thompson from K-State, and you're listening to The Drive with CDOT right here on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards.
True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You mentioned it earlier. I threw out the question. If you walked around the city and you played Chiefs Family Feud and you asked Chiefs fans, why are the Chiefs going to win on Sunday? I think the most common answers are going to be they always win this game. They don't really have a history and track record of losing this game. We don't believe in Daniel Jones. Right. I think would be number two, and I think number three would be Patrick Mahomes.
Sure.
Do you have anything else to add to this list? And where do you think Arrowhead is on this list? Because a lot of the sentiment that I've seen is
right.
In the four most important games that they have left, all four of those games are at Arrowhead, and nobody is coming into Arrowhead and taking this away from the Chiefs. Where do you think Arrowhead ranks in reasons they win on Sunday?
Maybe fifth. You know, I still think fourth is this game should matter more to the Chiefs than the Colts, just flat out. So I agree with one through three. To just keep things simple, we haven't seen Patrick Mahomes struggle for three straight games since what, the 2021 season? When he had that like midseason slump, and it was one of the most shocking things. It's like, all right, people do have slumps. He's never had one until like his fourth season or whatever as a starter. So I would imagine Mahomes will be better than what we've seen over the last two games. He understands the importance, of course. Like I said earlier, Daniel Jones has played really well in controlled climates. Now, I know he used to play in MetLife with the Giants, but I just kind of want to see it, right? I want to see Daniel Jones. I guess one of his best performances, unfortunately, in the loss, because it wasn't his fault, was when they did go up to L.A. and they went toe-to-toe with the Rams. And partly the reason why they lost that game is that player is no longer on their team, and A.D. Mitchell, who fumbled, you know, before the goal line and then made a mistake, I believe, that led to like a game-losing turnover, essentially. So I just want to see like if Daniel Jones can go shot for shot with Mahomes in the fourth quarter in a game that I think will probably have better coaching, right? Right? That might be sixth on the list. I might be more in favor of Arrowhead and the fans than, I mean, you guys are going to call good play sequences, right? And like good blitzes and, you know, like show me that like you have an advantage from a X's and O's standpoint. Maybe.
There's been a lot of conversation about Kansas City and they could possibly miss the playoffs, and they can. Like, I don't want to make it seem like they're a lock for the postseason. I want to get your thoughts before you get out of here with Buffalo. I don't think Chiefs fans are talking about this yet and worried about it. The worst thing that can happen is Buffalo and Kansas City have the same record.
Correct.
Like, that is not good for Kansas City.
Same with Jacksonville. Yeah.
Just because I don't see a scenario in which the Chiefs end up getting the 5 seed. I just find it hard to believe that they're going to be the best team that doesn't win their division. Like, they got to basically win out the rest of the way.
Yeah, that was going to be my response, is that the only way they can probably do that is if they win out and New England doubles up on Buffalo. Yeah.
So I'm looking at the games that Buffalo has left, and this is noteworthy. On the road against Pittsburgh, Buffalo has struggled in road games.
Correct.
They just lost to Houston. They went on the road and lost to Miami. Like, you got to prove to me you can win these games.
Yep.
On the road against Pittsburgh, on the road against New England. I'm guessing that's a game they're going to be underdogs in. On the road against Pittsburgh, another coin flip kind of game. A game they could very easily lose. I'm not saying they'll lose on the road to Cleveland, but if you lose 30-13 on the road against Miami, you can absolutely lose on the road to Cleveland. Like, 100% you can lose on the road to Cleveland if that's the case. And they also got Philadelphia, and Philadelphia might need that game at the end of the season.
Correct. Yep.
Like, they might need that
for
game.
For their own standings. Yeah.
I don't think Buffalo going 10-7, 11-6 is outside the realm of possibility. That is not one of the teams, if you're Kansas City, that you want to be an 11-6 team. You want them to just be 13-4. You want them to be out of the way.
Right.
So to speak, when it comes to the playoff picture, what do you make of Buffalo and how they've played the last month or so?
Guys. Now Josh Allen was incredible at home against the Buccaneers in a game they felt they had to win after their embarrassing loss to the Dolphins. Again, Josh Allen was incredible against the Chiefs in a game they had to win after, you know, stumbling against the Patriots and the Falcons. So if we could just tell Josh Allen that from here on out, must win, dude, gotta play well, gotta be amazing. He's more than capable of doing it. The problem, Carrington, is who is he throwing to? Oh, it's so bad. Are they really out on Keon Coleman like that?
I think Keon Coleman's going to be playing for the Carolina Panthers next year.
Oh, it breaks my heart.
I think he's getting traded for a pick swap in 2027. You can just see the writing. You can 100% see that coming.
Oh.
You can see that coming a mile away that he's about to get traded
I'm hurt.
I like Keon Coleman coming out of
Keon
college.
Coleman
I
when he came into the league. He was supposed to be a star. Of course, he's attached to Xavier Worthy. So you kind of want to see both of these guys like have their career play out. No, but honestly, man, Curtis Samuel has his moments. Mecole Hardman, he's already on IR. Joshua Palmer,
that man played for them about 32 minutes. Mecole Hardman.
And I love Mecole
Hardman made one play, then he dropped the ball,
and then he fell. We're like, welcome to the Mecole Hardman experience.
Yeah, they got the full range in a very, very short period of time.
Dalton Kincaid, he's probably their best skill position player outside of James Cook. So really, he's gonna have to be Superman, guys. And again, he might as well be throwing to Gabe Davis.
Their defense isn't good enough.
At all.
I mean, it's that simple. Their defense isn't good enough.
At all.
Like, Buffalo doesn't have enough. They don't have enough weapons on offense. Their defense isn't good enough. You can't watch that Buffalo team and tell me, especially if they don't win the division. They are not going on the road in three straight weeks and beating three playoff teams. Not with that defense.
Again, unless Josh plays out of his mind and Khalil Shakir, James Cook, they all got to stay healthy. Dalton Kincaid's got to come back and be amazing. And Gabe Davis at least has to be able to stretch the field. One thing that I think will frustrate Chiefs fans about that loss to Buffalo is Buffalo showed a different game plan than the Chiefs anticipated. You know, they had more DBs on the field. They used more three down linemen, linebackers, you know, maybe coming on more of a delayed pressure looks, more simulated looks. They played a little bit more man coverage than the Chiefs may have anticipated. Problem is Buffalo put all that on tape against the Chiefs. And so now teams are like, oh, well, we can adjust to that because you showed that in early November and they're still half the season. So I think that's what's going to frustrate some Chiefs fans is like, well, why didn't our offense play well against Buffalo? That was Buffalo's slider and changeup. And then everybody else now is like, oh, that's right. They can't stop the run. Like, which also the Chiefs should have kept it simple and tried to run the ball too.
That's not part of their offensive philosophy. Not at all.
Keep it simple?
Not at all.
Keep it simple.
Not when it comes to running the football. Not when it comes to running the football. That's it. Nate, we got 1 minute left. The Chiefs will win because of what?
The Chiefs will win because they have to focus for 60 minutes, right? The last time they focused for 60 minutes, I felt, was against the Detroit Lions. They can do that on Sunday, right? Right? They need this game. They know it's a must-win game.
They need it for sure.
They need it. The Chiefs will win because they'll concentrate and they'll stop doing dumb stuff and they'll stop, you know, having back-breaking penalties that'll like stall out drives, or they'll actually maybe call better plays in the red zone, because that was abysmal last week against the Broncos. We didn't even get to that. So I just think collectively, the coaching staff, the players, the quarterback, they're all going to be better focused. They're all going to concentrate a little bit harder, which means they're going to play better because they have to, considering the circumstances that they have put themselves in. So there's really nowhere to go, which means, hey, let's let the talent actually be on display. But in order to do that, you got to do the small things, you got to do the right things, and you got to stay focused.
That is our guy, Nate Taylor of ESPN, joining us on the show. He'll be back on the show next Friday as we'll have two games to recap the next time that you are on the air. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get you ready for Chiefs and Colts. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.